Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Throw into an Aaron Glenn highlight, so much for that.
That is a Glenn highlight. Yeah. That's when he ran it back 108 yards on the kickoff. I remember watching that game in 98. Vanderjagt tried it from 63. That was in Indianapolis. He fielded it right at midway through the end zone. And Brian Cox, remember him?
Yes, of course.
He actually cleaned the path up for Aaron Glenn the last 5 to 10 yards, and he took it back 108 to the house.
And the reason, 108. The reason why we were going to throw that highlight right there is because it is official. Adam Schefter tweeting just a little while ago, BT, a new coach in New York. The Jets are hiring former Lions defensive coordinator and former Jet Aaron Glenn as their new head coach.
I'm really happy. I'm really excited. I'm really enthused. It doesn't make any sense to make these bold predictions. Nobody cares. They mean nothing. What you do is you react to the hire, and my reaction is definitely a positive one. And now my focus is on, you know, I want to see how he comports himself at the press conference, though that's not always a sign that it's going to be good. But I hope it's a rock star home run of a presser.
Which I bet it will be.
I do, too. I bet a lot of former teammates, I wouldn't be surprised if Corbett or Vinny, some of these local guys, find their way back home. And go and support Aaron, who they both play with him for a while. And then it's the business of building a staff and lifting the Jets out of this nearly decade and a half abyss where they've been on this escalator to hell. And hopefully he is the one to get us off.
Well, now we'll find out, I would think, in the coming days, if not next week, about the quarterback situation. Here's why, and I'm not trying to rain on the parade. If you're a Jet fan, you have to be excited and you have to be hopeful beyond what even you may feel in your gut, like me. Like in my gut, I don't think this is a bad hire. It's not the hire that I would have made. I don't think it's the best hire. And just to hammer home that point, Schefter followed up that initial tweet with this. And we know this, but just to again reiterate it. The Jets have now hired seven head coaches since the end of 2000. Aaron Glenn, now hired here, 6 of them have been first-time head coaches with defensive backgrounds. Herm, Mangini, Rex, Bowles, Saleh, and Glenn, the one exception, Adam Gase. That, I know, BT, it shouldn't mean anything.
I hear you. It's tough to...
They're doing
not
the
lump
same
it all in.
Friggin' thing.
It's close.
Yeah,
I think the one difference is that it feels like from a talent base, more like when Mangini was coming in, more so than when Gase was coming in. Like the talent base is elevated. You know, now we got to get the answers on Rodgers. I would almost guarantee that Glenn wants Aaron Rodgers to come back and be his quarterback. We'll get the answer to that soon. But listen, I get it. That's why, you know, I can only tell you, like, what's in my gut. Nobody knows. Even Woody, who signed off on this, he doesn't fully, nobody really know. Mike Tannenbaum and Spielman don't really, truly know. Just like the Giants didn't know when they elevated, what was he, a linebackers coach, and almost fired him after his first year when he won three or four games, Bill Parcells. They didn't know that they were basically taken out of the incubator, the two or three greatest coaches in the history of football.
Right.
You really don't know. Sometimes the elevation and sometimes the ascension comes from the most unlikely place. And if you told me a year ago, hey, by the way, in 2025, Aaron Glenn's going to be the head coach, I'd be like, what? And I followed his path. Aaron, like, okay, how do we get there? I don't know. I just hope it's the right one, and in my gut, it feels better than not.
And I do think, even though at my core I don't like it because of those reasons, first-time defensive guy, Glenn should be set up better than a lot of the others, if not every one of the others, maybe outside of Rex, because of what's potentially in place. Also, it could have been worse. Like, if Woody hired Rex, that would have been a bad hire. There were worse moves to be made. I'll be rooting for him. He's the guy to root for. Look forward to when they have the press conference and all that. Still not the move that I would have made.
I got you. Hey, we'll keep talking about this tomorrow. Johnny's, let's go. Enjoy. Now, I will see you very quickly at the Garden tonight. I got to go up. They put us basically by the roof to do the games, which sucks.
Enjoy
at the
it up there.
Yes, I will see. Enjoy the floor.
Bring
us some luck tonight, all right? You and Hop, you got your Johnny's gear on. You're going to get on TV a lot tonight. Watch.
Really?
Guaranteed. Dude, you're on the court, man.
Better make sure I do my hair. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk about the Johnny's tonight. And whatever else, obviously more on Aaron Glenn and see what happens in the world of baseball as well. Thanks to Dove, thanks to Hop, thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Aaron Glenn is, in fact, the new head coach of the New York Jets. And I know there are people that don't love the hire. Now, for those that are not Jet fans, whatever. For those that are Jet fans, let me give you a comparison, even though you may reject my comparison. A few days ago, we swore in a new president. You may not have voted for the president. You may not even like the president, but you root for our country, and you hope that that president does a good job for all of us. I said that 4 years ago. I said that 8 years. I say it every time, okay? I say the same thing about this head coach. Because even if you have your reasons, Teague, some may be good, some may be lousy, on why you don't believe Aaron Glenn is the answer, there comes a moment where we have to come together. We got to rally behind our coach and hope that we're wrong about him if you don't believe in him, and certainly hope we're right about him if you do. Because the fate of the New York Jets, Teague, over the next few years is now in the hands of Aaron Glenn.
It is. And I don't know why anybody wouldn't be pretty, I don't know, enthusiastic about this hire, because he's a former player who's had success in the roles that he's had before, previously, that he's taken off, defensive coordinator being one, other staff positions as well. And he's risen quickly. And most importantly, he feels like a leader of men and a confident one at that. He's not going to be overwhelmed by this environment, and he knows the Jet fan base. So to me, that tells me he has at least the starting point to be a good head coach, period. Doesn't matter where he is. But the fact that it's here, I think, gives you the indication that the Jets wanted someone familiar with them.
I like Aaron Glenn. I think when we were making our lists, our rankings, if you will, he was not number one to me. He was number two, which is a nice place to be. Brian Flores was my number one. Aaron Glenn was my number two. But I had a fear, and I do think a lot of Jet fans have this fear, as irrational as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to confront it today. Today is a day where we as Jet fans have no other choice. You may hate the hire. You have every right to hate the hire. You have every right to say, I don't believe in him, or I don't believe in this, or I don't believe in that. But we have no choice now as fans to hope for the best. But one fear that I know I've had in the back of my mind, and a lot of people have, is, well, he's never done it before. And the New York Jets do this a lot. They hire people that have never done it before. They hire defensive coordinators who've never done it before. I'm going to read something to you. This is not me, Teague. This is a friend of mine who's a Jet fan, who comes from a good place. He's got no negative reasons for not liking Aaron Glenn. In fact, he even told me he loved him as a player, so it's nothing personal. We basically hired a less accomplished version of the last guy. That's how he views it.
Of
Robert Saleh? Because Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator for a team that had great, great success. And I think he looks at him, and some Jet fans do, is, yeah, Aaron Glenn was okay. Not taking anything away from him. He's a less accomplished version of Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, actually.
No, I agree. But how do we combat that?
Why do you have to combat it? Why can't you just accept that Aaron Glenn is your defensive coordinator? He will likely have a better understanding of how to handle the parts of this job, this Jet job, that Robert Saleh didn't, which is managing the message, which is hiring the right staff on the offensive side of the ball. Who knows where it's going to go? Currently, Clint Kubiak is a name that keeps getting thrown out there, as does Mark Brunell, who we talked about yesterday, who's been in coaching for a long time now. Most of it, though, on the high school level, private school level. But he's familiar with Aaron Glenn because they worked together a year ago, really for the last couple of years. So if, to me, Aaron Glenn as a leader of men feels right. And I can't explain why. I don't know why. I haven't talked to Aaron Glenn in years. But just what the MO is about him is that he doesn't take anything. He's kind of like Dan Campbell, but maybe not as crazy.
By the way, we need that.
Right.
We need someone who's not going to take crap, because I think that's been part of the problem for the last couple of years. And I think the reminder that people need to have here is that the New York Jets are not hiring a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, is that his job here? Did Aaron Glenn get hired to become the DC of the New York Jets?
Nope.
No. He's the head coach.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin had 1 year, one freaking year of being a defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. And it was fine that year. He didn't become a great coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers because he's a great defensive coordinator, just like we've seen many examples of guys who are great defensive coordinators, hello Steve Spagnuolo, who can't make the jump to being a head coach. So Aaron Glenn and Robert Saleh and Todd Bowles and whatever example you want to give up, all the Jet coaches, as DCs are not comparable because they're not hiring a DC, they're hiring a head coach. Now, the reality is, I have no idea if Aaron Glenn is going to be the leader of men we envision him to be.
Well, I think he was in Detroit, so why would he not be here?
As a leader of men?
Yes.
Because being a head coach is different.
True, but...
I don't say that negatively, Teak. I say it as, I don't know what he's going to be as a head coach, but using what someone did as a coordinator as good or bad reasons for their success, it doesn't matter. All we got to do is look at NFL history. Right. They're not hiring a defensive coordinator.
I got it. It's funny because we can have whatever opinion we want about Aaron Glenn or who they should have hired instead. If they don't get the quarterback situation figured out, and I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers anymore. Who knows where that's going? But if it is Aaron Rodgers, if they don't get that side sorted out, it doesn't even matter.
No, great. So we're going to be sitting here 3 years from now?
What are we going to be talking about? If their offense stinks
right,
and their defense happens to be somewhat good, they were top 10 in scoring last year, but doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Jets have been for the last half a decade?
Yeah, and it got up to 7-10 a couple of years in a row with Saleh.
Very good defense, but nothing offensively. If you don't get the offensive side of your operation figured out, it doesn't matter how good of a leader of men you are or what your personality is like in front of the microphone and in front of the media. You're going to lose games and people are going to turn on you. Mm. It is that simple. Really good coaches, like Brian Daboll across the way, who won Coach of the Year in 2022, couldn't get it figured out for the last couple of years, and now every Giant fan can't wait to move on from him.
Right.
Right? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you like the guy, you hate the guy. If you don't figure out how to score points and keep your team balanced, people are going to get tired of you.
No, you're right. I'll tell you the other thing that he needs to do in a couple of years. I think that when you are hired by Woody Johnson, there's a clock, okay? There's a little clock up there. And that is the clock of, I'm going to let you do your job clock. Okay? Because here's the thing about Woody Johnson. He'll hire somebody. He'll give you all the tools. He'll say, go win.
Yeah.
And if you don't succeed, he starts to get handsy. That's exactly what happened in the Robert Saleh world that we lived in with Joe Douglas. They had a chance to succeed. And you're actually right. The main reason they didn't succeed is because Joe Douglas got the quarterback wrong. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big part of it. Now, Robert Saleh made other mistakes along the way, but ultimately not having a quarterback, getting some of the worst production from the quarterback position 2 years ago while having a pretty damn good defense, led to 7-10. But Woody Johnson, and this is kind of the read I have on Woody, he's going to let Aaron Glenn and whomever they hire to be general manager, I think the assumption we all have is that Lance Newmark will eventually be announced as the guy, maybe as soon as today. I think Woody's going to allow these guys a couple of years to do their job.
Yeah.
And if they win games, maybe these are the guys we were waiting for, and maybe this is where this decrepit franchise that we love turns. But if it doesn't turn, what Woody Johnson does and what he did to Saleh and what he did to Douglas is he gets involved. Mm-hmm. And when he gets involved, you go to hell, which is exactly where the Jets went. It got worse, right? We all know what happened this past year. Firing Robert Saleh was the dumbest thing they could have done. Woody getting involved in Joe Douglas trades and saying, don't make this trade or go make that. It's the worst thing that could happen. So I think Aaron Glenn and whoever the GM is, let's assume it's Lance Newmark. We'll keep you posted on that. I think they're going to get their chance to put their hands all over this franchise and be the leaders we were waiting for.
Yeah, we'll get an idea of what that is once we see the details of the contract. I'm assuming it's a 4-year contract, maybe it's a 5-year contract. I forget what the standard is these days for first time head coaches, but you'll get an idea. Robert Saleh got 3+ years. It was in his fourth year. I can understand talking about it yesterday. If you're going to fire somebody, you might as well fire them early because you know they're not going to be your guy the next year. This was really around the realm of changing how head coaches can interview and what the process is, the timing is. So firing them early could be beneficial. But I think Woody Johnson with Robert Saleh knew that he didn't want him going forward. And so he ripped the Band-Aid off. Did it tank? It's not tank, but did it disrupt the season to a point where they couldn't recover and missed out on the playoffs despite playing better football down the stretch? Absolutely. So it was the wrong move for this year's team. But I think I got to trust that Woody knows when he does things right and when he does things wrong. I just have to trust that.
No,
I have to trust that. Yeah. I mean, If I was a Jet fan, I'd say, yeah, you're full of it, Tiki. But as a just a fan, like a I don't know, an observer, an IFO. Actually, this would be an independent organization observer. So an IOO, I have to just trust that he knows that he messed up that in that point, and he's going to stay at arm's length.
Now that Aaron Glenn is here, there's no point in talking about how I wouldn't have done it or I would have gone in a different direction. He is here now. So now the other hires and the things that he has to get right and the Jets have to get right are still ahead of them. Because Aaron Glenn, even if he's a great head coach, he's not going to be able to do it all on his own. And the general manager is the first one. Now, I don't know the relationships between Trey Brown and Darren Mogi and Aaron Glenn. I know that Aaron Glenn does know Lance Newmark, but you know, looking at the resumes of these guys, they're if they don't know Aaron Glenn, sit down, talk to him, let's get a relationship, because I don't want Lance Newmark just to get the job because he knows Aaron Glenn, because these guys look like they're more qualified, you know, especially if you look at how Trey Brown started. New England Patriots, then went to the Philadelphia Eagles, was a scout when they won the Super Bowl, then actually ran organizations in Fakakta Football League, Birmingham Iron and St. Louis Battlehawks. He actually was the GM there, which I kind of like, actually, and then came back to the Bengals in 2021, has been a senior personnel executive there since 2022. So, I mean, those are three really, really good organizations that he's coming out of, and then Mogi's been in one organization, but yeah, those guys get me a little bit more excited. So, all right, the GM is the first one. Now we're talking about the next two. Who's your offensive coordinator and who is your quarterback? And
it sounds like to me that it may be Mark Brunell.
I like that.
On the offense, because he was a quarterback coach out there in Detroit. I don't know whether or not Detroit will let him go. I don't know if Detroit will elevate him. I don't know. Detroit basically is picking up the pieces because their coaching staff is completely falling apart now because of their success, which is basically the norm in the NFL. Everybody starts poaching guys off of successful franchises. And who would have thought when Dan Campbell put his staff together, you know, some 4 years ago, that here we would be 4 years later and everybody's rating the Detroit Lions. So they've done a good job with their roster. They, you know, Dan Campbell is, you know, connected with all those team, you know, all those players out there, also those fans. And I would think that Aaron Glenn's going to do the same thing here for the New York Jets. The only thing I worry about always with a first-time head coach, and I don't care who it is, somewhere along the line, they have to become a head coach. And Aaron has paid his dues for sure. He's been a lifer in the NFL. He knows the league. He knows people. People have a lot of respect for him. But it really is going to come down to those decisions, you know, late in games. And we saw how the Jets failed in those situations over the last two or three years. And I just hope that there's somebody there that is going to be able to, you know, be a sounding board for him, because every head coach should have a sounding board. Not only, you know, if they are 20-year experienced head coaches or first-time head coaches, they need to have somebody who understands exactly the way the game is being played when it is being played, and also have somebody to discuss with on a Friday before a Sunday game about who they are getting ready to play, what they are trying to do, and have all of that communication put to bed before Sunday gets there, so there is no disorganization, that everything is buttoned up and the team really plays with an edge. So everything about Aaron Glenn that I know, everything that most of the people who have been around him know over the last 10 years as he has grown into this position, says the same thing. He's got that personality trait like a Parcells, like a Peyton, like a Campbell. That is a home run then for the New York Jets, if in fact that is the case.
Yeah, and he's going to have a great press conference. You know it if you've ever heard him talk or seen him coach on Hard Knocks or whatever it may be. I mean, the guy speaks like a leader, like a guy who you can trust. So he's going to have a great press conference. I know that. I'm not worried about him dealing with the media. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. But, you know, really, the other thing about this season, now I know you always want to win every single year, but, you know, does Aaron Glenn and the new GM come in and say, you know, we can make the playoffs this year?
But they have a roster where right. They got to believe they can make the playoffs.
So then if that is the case, then they got to beg Aaron Rodgers to come back. If they're saying, all right, we got to reset the organization, this is going to be a multi-year process
Woody Johnson's not doing that. Woody Johnson wants to win now. You know, Woody Johnson isn't like he's 55 years old. I mean, he's hiring a guy that hopefully that will lead the organization back to the playoffs and do that immediately. That's one of the reasons why Bob Kraft hired Mike Vrabel. Same thing. You know, I want a guy that was here that knows this city, that knows this team, knows his fan base, had a level of success here that, you know, a lot of the guys that we have here now maybe haven't enjoyed just yet. And I want that message to be stern. I want that message to be about discipline. Because if here's the one thing that Aaron Glenn knows. He was under Pete Carroll, which I'm sure he enjoyed playing for because Pete Carroll loves his secondary, you know, and as a defense coordinator. He then had to go 2 years under Richie Kotite. You know, he saw Richie Kotite put Vance Joseph on the field against the Raiders and Tim Brown go for 215 yards and 8 catches. You know, Vance Joseph was a backup quarterback in college. His rookie year, he throws him out there against Tim Brown. I don't think Aaron Glenn's going to do that. I think Aaron Glenn probably saw that and said, you know, we don't do things like that, even though Vance Joseph has turned out to be a very good coach himself. And, you know, it's interesting. Two guys came from that secondary are coaching. Which is amazing when you think about that. But then he saw what Bill Parcells did when he first got to the Jets. And I hope he remembers that. Because Bill Parcells walked into that room and didn't really have to change much of the roster. He brought in a few of his guys. But what he did is he laid the hammer down and said, this is the way it's going to happen. We're going to practice. We're going to meet. We're going to know what we're doing. And we are going to become an edgy group that's going to be competitive. In that first year, they were competitive, and they only got better each year after that. So hopefully Aaron Glenn learned something from that experience, seeing how it shouldn't be done to how it should be done and what this organization desperately needs.
So the better part of 2.5 years, the Jets were catering to everything Aaron Rodgers wanted to get him here, to keep him happy when he was here. We know it didn't work out. But now they're not doing that. They're doing what they think is the best for the organization. They've had Aaron for 2 years. They've seen him play one of those years. But does Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to play, look at this next version of the New York Jets with Aaron Glenn as the head coach, some of these coordinator names that are out there, you know, guys maybe he doesn't know all that well, and say, all right, I want to come back and play with these players that I at least know?
Very hard to
get in his head?
To teach an old dog new tricks. Let's put it that way. All right. So you got to be careful about if he is coming back, who you're hiring. If it's Mark Brunell, I would think that two quarterbacks could get along and two quarterbacks could sit down and have conversations. And if it is Mark Brunell, he would know better than anybody else what a quarterback needs to be successful. You know, I don't know necessarily that it will be Mark Brunell. I don't know necessarily that Mark Brunell has the personality to deal with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I don't even know if they have a relationship after all these years. They may. I'm not sure. They may have met each other a number of times. I don't, you know, I'm assuming maybe early on they might have played against each other a few times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I would think so. I'm not sure, but that would be my first question. But I also saw where Lomas Brown, another former teammate of mine who works for the Detroit Lions radio broadcast, said that, I think Aaron Rodgers would play for Aaron Glenn, and I think that Aaron Glenn would want Aaron Rodgers to be his quarterback at least for a year because they want to win. And we all know, look at the four quarterbacks that are playing in the championship weekend. You got to have somebody back there with a presence that is significance. You're not going to be winning with the Drew Locks of the world, unfortunately. And it's good for Drew. He's in the pros. I appreciate that. But you're just not getting to that next level with that type of guy. I don't know if you're going to get there with a 41-year-old either. If there isn't some sort of communication, open line of communication, to ask whether or not he actually does want to come back and play. I kind of feel like he does. But the question is he going to be... Is that going to cloud or in some way, shape, or form cast a large shadow over the head coach?
Yeah, which is a big deal. And it is really tricky because you want to be able to have a shot at winning. And if you look at all the alternatives that are out there, where they are in the draft, this quarterback class, what's out there in free agency, the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been here, he looked good when he was healthy at the end of the season, and he knows the players. For the Jets, he would be the best quarterback for them to win in year one. However, when you are talking the talk about Aaron Glenn, his personality, coming in here, taking over, all of these things chip on his shoulder, and you want him to be the man in the building, and then you bring the big black cloud Aaron Rodgers that goes over Florham Park, are you really allowing Aaron Glenn to get off on the right foot as the man in that building?
You know, if Woody Johnson is true to his word, I'm assuming he is, it's going to be up to the head coach and the GM. To me, it's up to the head coach. It's not really, it has nothing to do with the GM. It has everything to do with the head coach and whether or not he wants to deal with that relationship. And Aaron Glenn's had some success against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So he knows him. He's played against him. He knew exactly what they were doing out there in Green Bay. And he would know better than any. He would know better than anybody whether or not he believes that Aaron Rodgers has got anything left in the tank and could actually win with him, you know, next year. So, or this coming season. But that's going to be really interesting, because if Aaron Glenn has all the personality traits that people are describing him with, Parcells, Peyton, Campbell, he ain't putting up any BS from anybody. Yeah. You're showing up on time. You're going to be here. This is the way it's going. And, you know, we could all care about the players, and we can care about getting the best out of you players and
serving the locker room.
Right. And serving the locker room and being supportive. But, you know, it was interesting watching a number of the highlights of Aaron yesterday in Detroit, especially when Dan Campbell gave him the room. And Dan Campbell said, I trust this guy. I would go to war with this guy any day, you know, that kind of stuff. And then Aaron got up there and started talking. You could see the whole room was riveting, but he kept saying, I respect you guys. I respect what you do. He wanted to make sure that the players understood that he has respect for what they do and how hard it is what they're doing. But they're also living a dream. And living a dream, there comes responsibility with that. And it sounds to me in his defensive meetings that it was a little bit more edgy than it was in front of the whole team. I want that edge in front of the whole team.
Yes.
That's what I want to see, and hopefully that will be the case.
But I want to tell you honestly, Tiki, that over the years of the Jets and the Mets and any team I root for hiring a new coach or manager, I usually have what I like to call is tepid optimism.
Okay.
Like when they hired Robert Saleh a few years ago, I said, yeah, there's a hope for a new beginning, but I wasn't really sure. So it's optimism, but it's tepid. It's the, we'll see. I don't know what it is. I'm not exactly sure. I've been trying to pinpoint it over the last 24 hours. I am irrationally giddy about this hire. Aaron Glenn feels like the guy we've been waiting for.
Hmm.
And I am not one to just turn the mic on and say, yay, we're the Mets. We're going to win. Yay, we're the Jets. Usually, even if I'm optimism, there's that strain of, we'll see. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's some Jet fans being so negative, some people around here being so negative. I don't know if it's that I liked him as a player. Mm. I don't know if it's the clips I see of him. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But there's something about Aaron Glenn that is making me truly, honestly believe we have finally gotten the culture changer that the Jet fan has waited for decades.
I would guess it's a combination of a lot of those things, but primarily it's familiarity. You feel like you know, well, you do know Aaron Glenn. I was going to say you feel like you know him because he's been here and he was a player here, but that was as a player, not as a coach. But it still makes you feel like you know him and you know what he's about and you know what he's going to care about. And just based on how his career went, you can extrapolate in some ways what he's going to be like as a coach. And then you throw in the fact that you've heard some of his comments and I don't know, imploring to his team, and you're like, all right, that aligns with what I already think. And so it just feels right because you know him already, I would guess. Now, secondly, I didn't realize this until they were breaking down, I forgot what article I was reading, where he's been. He got coached under Bill Parcells, right? And Herm, mm-hmm. we talked about his time as a player. But then as a coach, it's been a lot of successful coaches, including Sean Payton,
right,
and now Dan Campbell, and just the talent that he's been around with some of these staffs that he's been on. And you get influenced by that. And I was trying to think about this. Like, if I became a coach, what kind of coach would I be? Right? How, what would I draw upon? And obviously, I would draw upon one of the most successful coaches that coached me, and that was Tom Coughlin.
Right.
And now I wouldn't be as hard and you got to get there 5 minutes early, but I probably would have a level of accountability that meant taking your job seriously. And if you didn't take your job seriously, based on whatever metrics I decided to come up with, there would be a consequence, whether
right.
fine or whatever it is. And so that's because that's how Tom Coughlin coached me. I would also be, you guys have to be accountable for the X's and O's. Like you can't mess it up. And that's just me being me. Like I wanted to be the smartest player that I could be on the field. Like I wanted to know more than the guy I was going against. And so I would expect all of my players to be the same way.
Right.
And so I think Aaron Glenn has his own personal quirks that are to him, but you add those into all of those people that have influenced him over his years, and it's a lot of success that comes with him.
No doubt. And you mentioned it. He's learned from some of the best. Yep. I mean, Bill Parcells coached him, and Bill Parcells could not wait. Bill right now is not active. He's not around all the time speaking mm-hmm. into microphones. Bill Parcells yesterday could not wait to say positive things about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
That means something. He doesn't have to do it. I mean, Bill could say, I barely remember him. He was pretty good. I liked him on Dallas right. and the Jets. I don't know.
Yeah, Bill's 83 now.
Right.
He's happily retired and chilling.
Yes, and he wants Aaron Glenn to be successful and believes he will be successful. Now, that's not an automatic, obviously, but it's a nice positive sign. Sean Payton, who's done a tremendous job in his career and has certainly done it transitioning over to Denver, had Aaron Glenn on his staff for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Aaron Glenn got to learn from Sean Payton. He's now been on Dan Campbell's staff for 4 years. And the Dan Campbell one, believe it or not, excites me the most.
Because of the energy?
No, it's not even that. It's not even his personality. Here's why. Because the real reason deep down, and I think I could give you like 9 reasons, but I think one of the reasons I'm really excited about Aaron Glenn and I think this is going to work is because Dan Campbell's worked. Because the former player with no experience,
yeah.
with a staff that doesn't even have a lot of experience, changed the culture of an organization within a year. And Aaron Glenn lived it, and he breathed it, and he saw it. He did. He was there the entire time.
Yeah.
So he looks at Dan Campbell and says, well, that's another head coach who had no experience, a former player, who walked into one of the worst situations in football. One of the worst. We think about the Jets and we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, we're pathetic, we're sad, we're disgusting. What the hell with the Lions? And Aaron Glenn was on the bottom floor watching that turn around.
Yeah. He also watched Dan Campbell make some tough decisions that first year. Let's not forget Anthony Lynn. Before Ben Johnson, it was Anthony Lynn.
Yep.
And he took the play calling away from Anthony Lynn. And then I think he did it himself. I think he called the plays himself. And so that was his first year.
Right.
And he basically fired his offensive coordinator his
yeah.
first year. Why? Because it wasn't working.
Right.
And so sometimes it just feels easier to just wait. We'll kick this can down the road. But I think one of the things you learned, if you're Aaron Glenn from Dan Campbell, is if you know it's not working, don't wait.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Anthony Lynn, and I don't mean to pick on Anthony Lynn, but he's very, very important in this conversation
mm-hmm.
because Anthony Lynn was on the staff with Dan Campbell his first year in Detroit, and the perk of Lynn was that he was a former head coach.
Right.
So he brought that experience. Yippity-doo-dah. What the hell did that do in year one?
Nothing.
The Lions had one of the worst offenses in football, and to your point, Dan Campbell took play calling away and promoted the following year the tight ends coach by the name of Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson turns the Lion offense from 28th in the NFL to 5th in the NFL, and a few years later, after the Lions are successful, Ben Johnson leaves. And the reason I bring that up is now that Aaron Glenn is here, and we'll get into the GM stuff in just a few minutes, it's about building a staff.
Right.
And I've thought about this. I don't want someone who has head coaching experience for the sake of it. You know what I want on offense? I'm talking specifically about offense. I want the next Ben Johnson. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's hard to identify those guys. There's plenty of names that are getting thrown around now. Clint Kubiak has been one of those names because of the success he had at least early in the season last year in New Orleans. It kind of got off the rails, as we all know, down there, and they fired their head coach. But it's hard to identify that person.
Well, that's the tough part. But you know what? For years, that's one thing and one conversation we haven't had around here.
Mm.
The conversation of losing a coordinator because they're so good.
Yeah.
Losing a coordinator because that guy did so much. So look, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on Nick Cally, but I'm intrigued by Nick Cally because Nick Cally's never called plays. He's not an offensive coordinator yet, but he works for Sean McVay. And maybe Nick Cally, given the opportunity, is my Ben Johnson, is our Ben Johnson. And that's the truth, because I know we're going to talk about experience, and that's usually the big argument that's used against this hire. I've heard it from some of my fellow hosts. I've heard it from a lot of callers. You need experience, experience, experience. Experience is good, but that's not the end-all be-all. You need innovators. You need success.
Yeah.
Detroit is our model. They are our model. Well, they put a guy on their offensive staff with experience, and he was gone within a year. And then they found their guy in Ben Johnson. So I know I go out on a limb and say Nick Callie's our Ben Johnson, because I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But the signs are there, and that's what I want.
Nick Callie is the current tight ends coach / pass game coordinator for the Rams.
And guess what? That was Ben Johnson's title before he got promoted.
Hmm.
He was the tight ends coach for the Detroit Lions. So what I'm envisioning right now, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually believe all this is going to happen too, which I never feel. We need to find our next great offensive innovator who 3 years from now gets the head coaching job for some loser franchise that's desperate to turn their team around. I'll leave that team blank. It could be anybody, the Giants, but that's what we need. And for whatever reason, and I promise you, I didn't say this about Robert Saleh. I had guarded optimism. I didn't say it about Todd Bowles. I had guarded optimism. Same thing with Rex. Adam Gase, I just wanted to stop watching football. I was so negative. But with Aaron Glenn, and maybe it's the hype video. The Jets put out a hype video yesterday. I showed it to my wife 3 times. And she's like, okay, the first 2 times were cool, but what are you doing here?
Right.
And I said, I love this man. I think this is the man that changes everything.
Yeah, the only thing, as I said yesterday, and I'll keep saying until they get one or get it figured out, you need the quarterback also.
You do. Now, here's the other thing, and this is how I know I've been so enamored by Glenn, like he's almost got this magic wand on my head. The fact that they haven't hired a general manager, which is pretty important, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't even bother me. I'm not annoyed about the fact that today they're interviewing Darren Moogie, who I honestly want to get the job just so Loogie could have a Moogie. Like, I don't know much about Darren Moogie other than he's an assistant in Denver, and I hope he's the next great GM. And the truth is, other than the research we all do over the next few days, we don't know much about any of these guys. But I don't know, like Moogie and Loogie, it just feels like it would work.
What I hope, here, what I specifically hope for the New York Jets and Aaron Glenn, that they let him hire his staff.
Yeah, because we've seen that before. The Jets actually did that, you know, with Adam Gase. Not that Adam Gase was going to be a great coach anyway, but they foisted Greg Williams upon him, and that putting those two wackos in the same situation, that was Shiv City, man.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about it is that I get this feeling that this whole thing is like, it's a Tannenbaum-Parcells thing happening all over again.
Okay.
And all these guys, and this is great because there's a lot of success for guys like, obviously, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, and Dan Campbell, all the guys that Aaron has worked for. And I think that's terrific. But I also feel like, you know, is the 33rd team doing something else? Not only just helping hire the head coach or maybe even getting a GM, but are they putting a staff together for Aaron? Or is Aaron going to be putting that staff
together? Well, he's got to be putting the staff together. I understand.
I hope so.
Well, you know, they did an ass backwards with the GM and the head coach. I mean, I always thought that if you were going to hire the coach first, it has to be a guy who has commanded that respect. And Aaron Glenn has not done that as a head coach yet, but they decided to go that route. Okay, fine. Let's pair him with a guy that you really like as a general manager that can get along with Aaron Glenn. But if you're telling me you're bringing in Aaron Glenn and Woody Johnson or whoever else is going to hire his staff, then that to me is just getting this thing off on a wrong foot. That can't possibly.
See, but this is why a experienced head coach will come in and say to the owner, this is what I'm doing. This is my staff. This is who I want. I don't know. I'm sure Aaron has got relationships. I'm sure he's got guys that he wants on his staff, and hopefully they'll allow him to put his staff together.
What makes you say that? Why do you think?
I don't know. Some of the names you see, you start thinking to yourself, okay, well, that's the Parcells tree. That's Mike Tannenbaum knows that guy, this one.
But Aaron Glenn is a Parcells tree guy, so that's
It is. It's not an easy thing to do to put a staff together. It's just not. I mean, especially when you're supposedly starting from scratch. I don't know if they'll keep anybody off the previous staff or not. The guys seem to be like moving around pretty good right now. But
I'd keep Nathaniel Hackett around. That's what I would do. Yeah, okay. I'd make sure we'd give him a job. I mean, that guy can't let him leave the building.
But
no
way. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, going through a whole nother offense, and I'm sure they're going to, you know, whoever it may be. I mean, do you? I'm not saying you keep Nathaniel Hackett, but do you keep like a Todd Downing? Just to, if you're bringing back Aaron Rodgers, I mean, are you going to try to teach a 41-year-old, you know, a whole new bag of tricks and offense with new vernacular and new rules and all this, all the things that go into building an offense? You know, that's interesting to me. If you want Aaron Rodgers back, I mean, you're not going to teach him new things. But then again, you also don't want him having, you know, total control of the offense by himself, no matter how good he is or how smart he is. You know, he's got to have somebody holding him accountable.
Keyshawn Johnson, do you see what he said about Aaron Glenn bringing back Aaron Rodgers?
I did not see that.
So Keyshawn Johnson said on Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers, he, meaning Aaron Glenn, will not start off his career with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback in September. If he does, then I'm walking from Calabasas at 4 a.m. in the morning to the studio with nothing on but boxers. So I'm saying this with a lot of confidence. And it's a 10-hour walk from Calabasas
and
to
the
studio.
And by the way, Keyshawn and Aaron were teammates together. So for the Jets when Keyshawn first got drafted. So, you know, I'm sure he's very friendly with Aaron. But the only thing that I would say is that you got Lomas Brown, you know, in Detroit, who has covered the Detroit Lions, and a former Lion himself who says that he wouldn't be surprised if they kept Aaron Rodgers. I kind of tend to agree with Keyshawn in this regard, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is not an easy decision because you could very easily make a case on both sides. We're saying you want to other options at quarterback other than Aaron Rodgers for a first-time head coach are not good, and you would like to get off on a start where you're winning. But also the other side of this, which I think is more important, which I lean to, is we have talked so much about this next head coach being the guy that changes everything in that building, being the man and everything else. Can Aaron Glenn start his career with someone as big of a personality as Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback? Can he establish that? Because those first impressions, that first year is so important to getting the respect to everybody.
That first year that Coach Parcells took over, I think he still had Neil O'Donnell, and he also had Ray Lucas. And if I remember, Ray Lucas ended that season in 1997.
He played well, right?
It was 97.
Because, yeah, the second year, 98, they went to the championship game.
But they also had Vinny then.
Yep.
So eventually they're going to have to get somebody. If Parcells is talking to Aaron Glenn quite a bit and he is giving him advice and trying to tell him things that he did, because again, like when you and I were talking about this, when they did fire Rob Saleh, who they were going to bring in, we talked about they needed a Parcells type to do exactly what Parcells did when he got here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he brought in a wealth of credibility, Super Bowl hardware, playoff hardware. You know, he had been successful in New England. He had been successful with the Giants. You know, that Aaron doesn't have that part of it. But he does have, it seems like, the personality part of it. And if he does have the personality part of it, then I would lean more toward what Keyshawn Johnson is saying.
That Aaron Rodgers will not be here in September to be the starting quarterback.
I don't know how he can be. I mean, like, if you're a rookie head coach, having that dynamic personality in your building is probably not the way that you want to get off and the way that you want to control the football team. Here's the other thing I would say, you know, for any of these coaches, Liam Cohen, same thing. Same thing for David Canales down in Carolina when he took over that job. I would say the same thing for Ben Johnson up in Chicago. You know, it's one thing to be understanding, you know, and being a listener to the players and, you know, have a connection with the players. That is really important. But the more important part of that is you have to be demanding of the players. And that's what Bill Parcells was when he took over the Jets. He was demanding. He brought a level of professionalism and discipline to that locker room. Now, he brought in a couple guys that knew him, and he always did that. He always brought in a few of his guys that would clean up the locker room, that would, you know how the locker room's supposed to be, he would say to his guys, look, you know exactly what I'm expecting. This is what I want in the meeting rooms. This is what I want in the locker room. This is what I want out on the practice field. So I'm hoping that Aaron has that part of him where, yeah, he can be understanding and it's all about respecting the players, but it's also the players respecting him and him demanding from them a total competitive edge, which is what has been missing with the Jets.
Bro, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. It's actually been a pretty good week, and I think you could figure out what I'm talking about. But I certainly want Rodgers back. And, you know, I've warmed up now to the Aaron Glenn situation, I have to say. The guy obviously wants to be here.
Right.
The only reason that he's palatable as a first-time a head coach that was a coordinator because he's in a Jet. I mean, he's a Jet. He played 8 years for the Jets. He wants this job. He understands the landscape. I think he understands, you know, the history of what this franchise is. Although he played on some, you know, pretty decent teams. He played with Parcells. You know, he was there. Aaron Glenn was there for Pete Carroll. He was there for Richie Kotite.
He was
there for Bill Parcells. He was there for that stiff Al Groh. And he was there for Parcells. So, I mean, excuse me, for Herm Edwards. So, you know, he knows the landscape. He wants the job. You know, I wasn't too thrilled with what I saw Saturday night, especially when he had 12 men on the field.
Right.
But, you know.
Well,
but,
I mean, that's what happens when you have a bunch of replacement players because everybody's hurt. You get confused.
Well, I understand. And that was just a horrible loss for the Detroit Lions.
Second half was one of the worst halves I've seen them play in a couple of years. Joe, let me ask you something real quick before we get deeper into this.
Do
you remember what you thought about Aaron Glenn as a player?
Like, I thought he was a very good player.
Right.
I thought he was the best corner we had until Darrell Revis. And I've forgiven him. I talked to you about this already. He was the victim of the, you know, the Mark Ingram spike touchdown in the Marino game in '94. That was his rookie year, though. So I can kind of, you know, I let that slide. But I thought he was a very good Jet. He was a very good Jet.
So from that aspect, yes. In relation to the Marino spike, we had a caller the other day. And I don't know if you remember this, Tiki. Guy called in.
Yeah, I do.
Met Aaron Glenn on the golf course, and Aaron brought up how much that bothered him. That the Dan Marino spike and everything. So
I was down in Tampa. Was it Innisbrook?
Yeah. Right? So it lived with him more than just us as fans. Like, that bothered him, which is a good thing because, like, you take it with you as a player and you learn from it, hopefully.
Yeah, no question about it. That's a good thing that he was bothered by that. Look, I mean, you got a lot of his ex-teammates want to coach with him, Victor Green and Ray Mickens. I'm hearing all these different names. Apparently, Parcells has nothing but good things to say about him. I've warmed up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's hope he's the right guy. And I want Rodgers back. And I've heard rumors that he does too. And, you know, I'm all for that. And let's go. Let's go out and, you know, make the playoffs next year. Okay? How about that? Let's go.
How urgent do you think it is for Aaron Glenn to have success? Is it first year?
Very.
Second year? I mean, they have a team that has good enough players to be playoff viable. Obviously, as I've been saying all day to Evan, it really depends on the quarterback play. Now, if it's Aaron Rodgers, you can kind of, you know what you're going to expect. But if it's anybody else, I don't think we have a clue what to expect. But what's the expectation for year one?
Expectation for me for year one. Look, we've had a number of head coaches, Herman Edwards, Eric Mangini, and Rex Ryan, all made the playoffs in their first year, all three of them. So we've had a lot of coaches had success right away. I want a minimum, Tiki, a winning season.
Right.
Minimum.
Yeah, nine wins.
And if we don't make the playoffs and we go 9-8 or we go 10-7 and somehow don't get in, okay, fine, I'll live with that. But the first year, I want a winning season. I'm tired of losing. We've had five straight years of 10 or more losses. You know all about the playoff drought and all of that. We have 9 years in a row without a winning year. I want a winning season next year. That's what I want right now.
So I've looked at the Rodgers situation and said, whoever they hire, that person's got to make the decision. I don't want Woody making the decision. I don't want Woody being pissed off about whatever.
The coach makes the decision.
All right. You obviously want Rodgers back, totally get it. If Aaron Glenn's first decision is, I don't want him back, I don't want Aaron Rodgers back, what would you say about that?
Well, I'd be surprised, number one, because I think he wants to win right away, too. I mean, you got to tell me, who's the quarterback? I mean, who's the quarterback? Justin Fields? Is that who the quarterback is? Tyrod Taylor? Is he our quarterback next year? I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? You know? And I think we got to draft a quarterback somewhere here in this, and not obviously not in the first round, but somewhere along the line. I really like the kid from Syracuse. Okay, I like him. I think he's worth a shot. You know, maybe you could get him in the third round. He maybe he's a second round. I don't know. But I look, I mean, you got to tell me who that quarterback is. I think Aaron Glenn's best chance of winning is Aaron Rodgers. So that's my feeling.
I don't think there's any question.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, when I think about the alternates,
right,
like, it is probably Justin Fields. You already mentioned his name, but there are not a lot of great options. So if it's not Aaron Rodgers, who would you prefer, if anybody?
Well, Sam Darnold may be done in Minnesota after he crapped out in the two biggest games he played.
Would you want him back?
No, I'd rather have Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. Like, O'Connell did a great job with Sam, and he had his run, but it was like, it's almost like reality set in at the end with Sam.
Well, the last game, the Ram game, was really pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was holding on. He got sacked a million times. He was holding on to the ball too long. You know, he threw at least one bad pick in that game that I can remember. Oh, that's right. Didn't he get a pick six in that game?
Mm.
Right? Pick six for a touchdown. No, it was a fumble.
Right.
It was a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. To me, Rodgers has got to be the guy. We got a young team. We still got a lot of young players on this team, on the offense especially. You know, I certainly want Devontae Adams back as well. I think that's our best chance to do something next year. And look, I mean, we still got players on the defense, and, you know, it's going to be a completely different defensive look next year. We do get Jermaine Johnson back.
Mm.
I think our first pick in the first round with the seventh pick should be a defensive player.
No doubt.
Maybe we get lucky and get the kid from Penn State, Carter, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it's going to play out, but there's going to be somebody pretty good there. So, you know. Let's go. I may even go out. I don't have one because I wasn't getting jerseys at that point, but I may go out and get an Aaron Glenn jersey now. I may have to.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good idea.
I'm serious. Number 31. Let's go.
Yeah. And he, like you said, he was a hell of a Jet, and it's amazing. You touched on it. He was a part of so many different eras for this franchise.
Yep.
The really bad with Richie Kotite, the really good with Bill Parcells, the transition from Al Groh, didn't want to be here, to Herm Edwards. Like, and I think that's a positive attribute, that he has seen the bad of the Jets and he has seen the good of the Jets. And I would almost think that prepares him for dealing with what it's like coaching this team and dealing with the media and the fans.
No question. And I think that's why he's, like I said, he's the one first-time head coach coordinator you can sell to the fan base because of that. And I got to tell you, when they put him up in the expansion draft and we lost him to Houston, I was not happy about it, I can tell you that.
Yeah. We're talking to Joe B, Jets hire Aaron Glenn. What about the GM? The rumors are this Lance Newmark, who I don't think a lot of us have known much about.
Right.
But do you have a strong opinion on him or anyone else that you would want?
I really don't have. I have very little opinion on any of the GMs.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to give me Mike Tannenbaum back, if you want to take the job.
None of them have history as a GM. They've all been assistant GMs or personnel guys. I know this Newmark has been in the Detroit system for a while. He goes back. I mean, you talk about Barry Sanders and stuff like that, and, you know, Megatron. But I think that you just don't know. I think the only thing that matters with the GM, Joe, is the relationship with the head coach. And it seems like this, I don't know, it's not a long relationship with Aaron Glenn, but at least it is a relationship with Aaron Glenn.
Right, if it's this guy Newmark.
Right. If it's Newmark.
Does the timing concern you, the fact that it's the coach first, the GM second?
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right.
No. Because I think that, the GM, now that Glenn's there, he knows, you know, what the landscape is now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think it's just a matter of what contract gets done first. Like, which one did they want to announce first? It's that type of situation.
Now, Joe, I'm very curious your opinion on this. This has nothing to do with the Jets. This has to do with
I know. I think I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Which one? Is it Pete Alonso or Carlos Beltran? Which question do you think I'm about to ask?
Well, even more so, how about Billy Wagner in the Hall of Fame? What a disgrace. You're going to tell me that this stiff, Billy Wagner, okay, if you're going to put that stiff in the Hall of Fame, okay, then John Franco's got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Billy Wagner,
who was maybe more than anybody else, was responsible for us not winning the pennant in 2006, okay?
I agree with you,
man. He is as responsible as anybody on that team. Forget Beltran taking the called third strike, okay? This stiff is in the Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me? John Franco's got to be in the Hall of Fame. John Franco had over 400 saves. John Franco, if you're telling me that Billy Wagner's in the Hall of Fame, John Franco's got to be in.
Yeah, I still hold Billy responsible for Game 7 because he was so bad in Game 6 that Willie Randolph did not want to use him in Game 7, which forced Aaron Howman to have to face Yadier Molina. The rest is history. So,
well, how about Game 3? Give up the game-winning home run in that, too.
Yep. So Taguchi. The immortal So Taguchi.
Right, what? Right. Was that Game 3 or Game 2? Whatever
game two.
It was.
That was Game 2,
Game 2.
So,
yeah, because I was there. I was at that game.
Yeah, that was brutal. That's when we should have known what the hell was going to happen in that series.
Pete Alonso, of course. Do I want Pete back? Of course, but you know what? Let's be honest, okay? The boy genius, Stearns, because he's, you know, let's be honest. I mean, he's smarter than everybody in the freaking room, doesn't want him back. And the guy that I blame is the owner, because I thought Stevie Cohen had a feel for the fan base, okay? And now you notice what they're pulling now with this, oh, Vlad Guerrero. We're going to get Vlad Guerrero. You know what? Screw Vlad Guerrero. I want my guy. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, from Tom Seaver to Daryl Strawberry to Ray Knight to Kevin Mitchell to Daniel Murphy to Zach Wheeler to David Cohn to Rusty Staub. I have lost every big guy that I have had on my team with the exception of David Wright.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And whether it was that, you know, stiff M. Donald Grant, whether it was that stiff Frank Cashin, who even though he was the GM on a championship team, decided to destroy the team and then said Daryl Strawberry wasn't a $5 million a year ball player, okay? Whether it was that stiff, whether it was the freaking Wilpons, now Stevie Cohen is doing the same thing. And I am beyond livid.
Beyond livid. You know what I need? Because I want Pete back. Obviously, we're on the same page on this. I need Pete Alonso to call up Steve Cohen personally, get Boris out, because I blame him a lot for this, bro. I got major issues with his negotiation.
You think that they are, because we talked about this, Joe, last week, briefly, that this is David Stearns. Maybe a caller called and said this. David Stearns is trying to get one over on Scott Boris to show Scott he won't be pushed around. We let you do what you wanted to do with Juan Soto. You got a record contract. It was unprecedented, say, for Otani, but it's different than Otani's because it's actually his real money and not all deferred till 2050.
Well, he doesn't play. You know, the Dodgers, they can do whatever they want.
Right, exactly.
You
know, but Scott Boris got one over on David Stearns, and now David Stearns is saying, you know what, Scott, never again. And Pete Alonso, unfortunately, is the consequence of this. Right? That kind of is what it feels like, and I hate that Steve Cohen is letting that happen if that's the case.
Yeah, I blame Cohen. It's on the owner.
Well,
and Cohen's supposed to have a feel for this fan base. He walks around with the Met hat on and the whole nine yards, right? It's on you, Stevie, to get this guy back where he belongs.
Honestly, I think it's on Pete right now to call up Steve Cohen, cut out the middlemen, David Stearns and Scott Boris in this.
Right.
Call him up and say, let's make a deal.
Right, kind of like Aaron Judge.
Because what drives me nuts about this, Joe, everything you said about homegrown, obviously I'm with you. Pete's my guy. I want him here. Put that aside for a second. They're better with him on the team. But just think about this season. They need him in the lineup. So it makes sense for the Mets. It makes sense for Pete. Cut the crap out. Call up the Mets because their offer, they made him an offer. And it may not sound great, but he's got no other offer. I need Alonso to tell Scott Boris, go sit in the corner, Tubby. I'm going to take care of this and get this thing done. Because now it's on him to reach out to the Mets because they both need each other. That's what drives me nuts about this. This makes sense for everybody. And if it doesn't happen, I think it screws the Mets and it hurts Pete. Oh, Pete's going to be better off in Toronto? Come on. Ridiculous.
And of course. Now, look, I mean, I think you're right, bro. Maybe it's time for Pete to get this done, to go call them and get his rear end back here where he belongs.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.